Hello, friends.
Welcome into another episode of Spiritual Philosophy Chatter with the Joneses. I am Danny Jones.
And I am Samantha Jones.
And this is episode 236.
236.
Cool. What are we doing today?
This is the struggle of healing.
It is.
It is a struggle. Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, for sure.
Well, before we talk about that, because I think it's a cool topic, anything we want to talk about from last week's episode?
Yeah, so last week we did self-limiting beliefs. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I don't know about you, but I really worked on this week in like trying to not put myself down and not limit what I could do. And mm-hmm. it really has helped. Like, I feel like I'm moving along with things easier than when I sit there and I go, you can't do this. What are you doing? Are you crazy?
Yeah.
You know?
I agree.
Yeah, for sure.
Good.
So, as you may or may not know, my TV show started last week.
I do know.
Yes, you know.
Oh,
you know. They might not know.
It was very exciting.
Thank you. It was interesting and a lot of fun. And it was easier than I thought it was going to be. So I'm looking forward to doing it more than I was.
Cool.
But before I did the show, I asked my Facebook friends and followers if anybody had any questions for me to answer during the show. And I didn't get to all of them. Got so it. I have two questions that I wanted to answer today.
Great. Cool.
Cool. Okay. The first one is from Alicia. She asked, when it comes to animal readings, how do you separate yourself from the ugly you might see and still be able to effectively give a reading? This is a very hard part of my job. It's more hard just surviving. I mean, I have to be honest, it's like the readings are honestly the easy part. It's just everyday life, me not getting caught up in the things that can happen to animals or that do. You see a lot of it. You see me not being able to watch things mm-hmm. or talk about certain things or whatever. So because I knew this about myself going into these abilities,
right.
I told my guides, I really don't want to see certain things.
Right.
And because I didn't know how it was going to work at first, you know, I realize now that like, let's say
you thought you were making like a special request kind of.
Well, I wasn't sure. Right. I wasn't sure if you could do that. You know, I was so new to things, but I felt it in me. I felt like, why don't you just say you don't want to see these things, right. you know?
But I mean, it seemed like a special request at the time
yeah.
because you were like, oh my God, this is brand new and everything like.
Yeah.
I think you talked about this last week a little bit about. Or was your, no, excuse me, not last week, on your show,
mm-hmm.
about how when it first happened, I mean, everything, you could hear everything
yeah.
all yeah. at once, and yeah. you had to ask them to kind of, can Tone we get down. A single file line and mm-hmm. one at a time, you know, that kind of thing. But then you were like, and then one more request.
Yes.
Can we keep the ugly out, you know, yeah. like the not so pretty stuff?
Right.
And I would say, from what I've heard you share with me, that they've honored that for the most part.
They have.
I mean, an animal does have to tell you kind of
yes.
in some way if you're asking what happened.
Right.
They're going to have to show you a little bit.
Yes.
For you, enough for you to be like, okay, that's good. I understand.
One of the things that I do try, and I say this in my reading group when you're posting a reading for me, is don't tell me that the death was traumatic.
Yeah.
Because my mind immediately goes to worst case scenario and I block.
Yeah.
Then I'm like, I don't want to see it. I don't want to know. But sometimes all they're talking about is that the dog passed away at home suddenly. Not that it was hit by a car or there was abuse or whatever. But my mind goes straight to that worst case scenario.
Yeah.
So when I hear that word traumatic, I usually will ask, how did the dog die? I don't want to go for it, you know, because my mind is all jumbled with it. But it really is about just asking about, I have had a couple of times where I've started seeing things and then I stop them. So I'll just back out of it. And it's just about redirecting your attention somewhere else. But like if there's a dog that's been abused, for example, I won't see it being abused. I will just be told.
Right.
And that makes it easier.
Yeah.
So I think that, because I know with Alicia, she really wants to open her animal abilities. Like she's working on her medium and psychic stuff. But she's scared of opening those animal abilities because of what she might see and feel.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, you know, you're kind of sharing, you may have some level of control in that too.
Yes. And I think that when you're an animal lover, that is just a part of life in general, is that it's kind of like just going out and you might see an animal out there that's not in the best shape. It's the same kind of thing. So I've just had to kind of learn,
Yeah. But, so somebody posts on Facebook today about how they, I don't know what they were doing. They said they went to the animal shelter or something. Oh, to donate blankets. Mm-hmm. And that they saw somebody giving their German Shepherd to the shelter.
Oh, really?
And that's like, ooh, I instantly got like this. Ooh, I don't want to.
Yeah.
Kind of don't want to read any more of this.
Yeah. Sometimes I'll be on like TikTok and I'll scroll onto something and I won't know, you know, you don't know what you're seeing until it's been a few seconds and I'll see something. I'm like, don't, you know, like a dog that has been abused or a bad situation, you know, that's been taken out of or whatever. Those are really hard. That's worse for me than the readings, because the readings I can, like you said, somewhat control, but that I can't. No. Can't control what I see in the real world.
Unfortunately, no.
Nope. So thank you for that question, Alicia.
Yeah, thanks.
And then Nancy asked, can a past relationship send energy to sabotage a future connection if they are still attached and you are not?
No.
The only thing that can sabotage the relationship that you're in is you and the other person. Yep. That's it.
Yep. It's like voodoo, like the whole concept of voodoo.
Right.
Like somebody going and getting a voodoo doll to do something to you. The only way that would be ever be possible is if you were believing that that's part of the reality.
Yep.
That's the only way.
Exactly.
Otherwise, no, it's not.
No.
They have no control over you unless you allow that control.
Absolutely. If they did, your ex-wife probably would have won this battle because she hated, well, she still does, hates me. And so, you know, from the beginning, she was cursing this relationship. So if it
and
did,
you.
Yes, absolutely.
A couple choice names in there.
Too. Oh, just a few. Yeah. but yeah, no, it's really about you. It's only about you. It's, but yeah, if you want to believe that there's a voodoo curse or something on you, then there will be.
That will be your reality.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Yeah. But it's not because somebody else did it.
Yeah.
So there's.
So I think the answer is a resounding no.
No.
Yeah.
No, you're good. So hope that that answers your question, Nancy.
Good. Thank you, though.
Yeah. Thank you so much. So that's all I have, because I know that there's a lot to talk about in this episode. So I don't have a ton of stuff.
Okay.
So let's just give our information before we start.
Do it.
All right, so you can find everything about me on my website, SamanthaJonesPsychicMedium.com. I have a brand new TV show that airs Mondays at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. You can find it in a plethora of places. Bold Brave TV is the name of the network, and you can find this on Facebook, YouTube, X, which used to be Twitter.
Yeah, I used Roku. The Facebook link, which was pretty good. It was okay.
Yeah, I think
a couple times it got dropped and then caught up, but not terrible. No,
I think that is the best one, because that's the one you guys can chat with me through.
This is true.
So if you want to chat with me during the show, the Facebook Live is the best place. So you just go to Bold Brave TV's Facebook and you can see the link there.
Now, if you go to their website, you can see all the previous episodes still there.
I believe so. This is something that I haven't quite figured out yet, because they all are still on YouTube in those places.
Yeah.
But there will also be on Spotify, iHeartRadio, all the places that this
podcast
is. So
you can find the previous episodes somewhere.
Yes.
Okay.
But I haven't been able to find them yet myself. So I don't know
how. So we don't know that for sure.
I do know that for sure because they told me. I do know that for sure because they told me that that is in fact the case.
Okay.
Some places it takes a couple of episodes before they'll actually put you up, like iHeartRadio, because they want to check, make sure you're reputable or whatever. But the other ones should be up by now. I just can't find them. So that's on my list.
I was just asking for people that might be interested to see one they haven't got to see.
Yes, absolutely. Well, you can also do something else, and you can go to Facebook and search for Samantha Jones in Las Vegas, which there might be like a million of us, but my Facebook is now a creator Facebook. So on there, you'll always be able to find the episodes from the week before.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
So they're all there. So if you follow me there and...
very good.
Yeah.
All right.
So there you go. And you, sir.
All right. For my art, djonesartcollection.com. For the web, at djonesartcollection. For Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. And I'm really close to finishing this one.
Mm-hmm.
Very close.
It's very good.
I can't really say how long because I'll be wrong.
Right.
So I'm not going to bother.
Yeah.
But very close.
Very close.
I'd say within a week, maybe.
Yeah, so. It's very cool.
So we'll see.
Yeah.
Anyways, and then for my photography, Instagram is djones71photography, at djones71photography. And my Etsy shop is djonesphotography71.
I have a fun thing to do here for your next, the one that you're working on.
Yeah.
I was thinking, because we do have a lot of listeners that are working on their psychic abilities.
Okay.
And so I thought, if we haven't told anybody what this is of. Nobody knows, except for you, me, and Marina, I think. Oh, and a couple of your friends. Okay, so they can't be
involved. I would say only, I think Tim is the only one I've actually...
So Tim, you can't enter.
...shown it to some of the process.
Anyways.
I've just posted that where it was inspired by.
Okay, so anybody, I think, that gets it, that can tell us intuitively who the next one is of...
Yeah,
that they would get like a print when you do have it.
That's a great idea.
Photographed and all that.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, I think so. It encourages you to use your psychic ability.
That's true.
So take a little bit and sit with it before you message it to us, spiritualjoneses@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. Sit with it. Don't think. Just let all the thoughts go out and see what the first thing that comes to you is.
Yeah.
Yep.
Very cool. Good idea.
Yeah, I thought so.
All right. Well, that's it for moi.
Very good.
All right, then, episode 236, The Struggle of Healing.
I had this, just like most of the ideas, they come to me because we're talking about something, right? We'll be talking about something, and then it just hits me all of a sudden.
Yeah.
And I feel like you had mentioned something that you feel like a lot of times you're healed from something, and then it rears its ugly head again. And we've both kind of have been going through these situations where we thought that we were healed from something and then we're being tested now.
Like something new happens. It's not like the old thing.
No.
Because I've kind of gone over that so much.
Yeah.
But something new that's related to the old occurs, and then you're like, why is this triggering me? Like,
yes. You know? But that's why it does that, is to see, have you healed?
Right.
Because I think once you have healed from something, it doesn't affect you in a certain way anymore.
Yeah.
So what the universe is doing is kind of trying to show you, okay, so this isn't completely healed yet.
Mm-hmm.
So let's work on this a little bit more,
yeah.
You know? So that's kind of where this idea came from. I learned very early on in my spiritual journey that healing was going to be a big part of the spiritual awakening process. That has nothing to do with my abilities, really, except the fact that it's made me a better person, which makes me do my job better.
Yeah.
But it really, you don't have to have abilities. You don't have to be a professional psychic. Everybody can do this, can heal, can work on the inner child work and the shadow work. But that came to me really quickly, that if I wanted to be the spiritual being that I want to be, I have to heal the things about myself that are, quote, broken.
Yeah. You posted something today or yesterday on Facebook that was something in regards to that kind of, I don't remember the exact verbiage, but it was basically like, in order to, you know, be spiritual, you have to be willing to, how willing are you to look at yourself that deep? Yeah.
Yeah. The degree to which a person can grow is directly proportional to the amount of truth he can accept about himself without running away.
Right. And there you go. That's not there. The word spiritual isn't even in there.
Yeah.
So us as humans, both, you know, not just physical growth, but social developmental growth.
Yeah.
It's all inclusive. So it's like, how far can I go? Well, how far are you willing to look at things?
Right.
Yeah. You know?
Exactly.
That has a lot to do with where you're going to get.
It does, because I think before the spiritual awakening, I wasn't willing to look at the way that I was in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the universe pointing it out to me. And like, especially when I would do things that I didn't like, and, you know, when, like, before you just kind of ignore it or whatever, you don't even really take accountability for it.
Yeah.
Then I started feeling bad about all of these things that used to just be who I was.
Right.
And realized that a lot of them stem back to my mother and the whatever you want to call how I was raised.
Mm-hmm.
It comes from that.
So much of it is that, you know, it's really, and it's not to put everything that went wrong on your parents, but it's to point out this wheel of karma, this chain reaction that we're caught up in.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like does anybody stop the wheel for a moment to think, God, this is kind of going nowhere.
Totally.
But I'm on this wheel, right? And I'm just passing this down to the next thing over and over and over. And right. everybody's got their own opinions and everybody feels justified in their own
right.
thoughts and beliefs. And okay, whatever. But there's still this occurring, whether we want to admit it or not.
Absolutely.
That we are often taking bad habits and then projecting them further to another generation.
Absolutely.
Is kind of what I mean in a way.
That, I think, hits the nail on the head with my mom, was that it was all of her projecting and wanting me to be a little version of her.
Right.
And me not seeing it, because when you grow up a certain way, you think that that's normal.
Mm-hmm.
That feels right to you. So my mom was a little bit on the racist side, and it didn't ever really hit me. That's one of her traits that I never really had a problem with, and I'm very, very thankful for that.
Mm-hmm.
But that came to her from her father, the projection that her right. father, because right. he was in the concentration camp and all that, and he was very bitter about mm-hmm. everything. So he projected that onto her, you right. know? And that's like, that's how we're kind of messing our kids up here, is we're like, well, yeah. this is the way I am, so this is the way you should be, and then we're stuck healing from it.
Well, yeah. And then I have to look at it as a parent myself. And then, you know, because I've had moments with my kid where she's upset or mad and, you know, unleashing and dumping, yeah. you know, on me or you or whatever about what she's upset about.
Yeah.
And it may pertain to me.
Right.
Right. Something I've said or done. So I have to turn that yeah. around, like that mirror around, and look for yeah. a minute. And that's freaking hard.
It's
sometimes.
Really hard.
But I have to do that,
yeah.
right? I have to be willing to admit my fault if I've been wrong.
Yes.
That's probably the biggest thing, is how many of us as parents have been willing to admit to your child that you were wrong.
Right.
And you're sorry.
Right. It's important.
That's very important. Mm-hmm. And that kind of gets overlooked a lot, I yeah. think, in situations.
Yeah, I think
because,
so,
like I said earlier, people feel justified in their thoughts and their beliefs and all this. So your behavior, you tend to justify it.
Right.
When maybe if you stepped away and looked at that, your own healing right. from your own growing up,
mm-hmm.
is that really justified?
Right.
No, yeah. probably not, most likely. Yeah.
And, you know, it's not just our parents, because trauma no. happens in relationships. It yep. happens in all areas.
Yep.
But it's still our responsibility to fix it. Even though that trauma or whatever might not have been caused by you, it was caused by somebody else or whatever, yeah. it is still our responsibility to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny, I saw this on Instagram this morning and I shared it, and it said something like, does anybody else feel like the second part of your life is healing from the first part of your life? And yeah. I tell you that all the time.
Yeah, it's a lot of that.
I really feel like it is. Before we moved here, probably, actually, it was like long before we moved here, I heard that there was a new path starting for me. And this path was about the men in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And that I was going to have to deal with some things with men that I needed to do to heal.
Right.
The first part of my spiritual journey was about what my mother did. Now, this part has been about men. But this was before I knew that I had a father that I didn't know anything about, that I was told this.
Right.
So all of a sudden, there's this father that comes yeah. along, and I'm like, oh, I have to deal with this. And then all of a sudden, my stepfather's back in my life, yeah. and I have to deal with that. And I didn't see these things coming. I there's more that hasn't happened yet that right. I'm like, because it's all happening.
Yeah.
But it's important. It's important in the healing, because one of the things that I used to tell people when I was a kid was, I don't choose to use my past traumas as a reason to be a pain in everyone's ass.
Right.
And you know what? That's true. However, I didn't notice that these things that happened to me caused me to be a certain way. And because I was that certain way, I was a pain in people's ass.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't see it. And now I do. Right. And now I have to look at it and go, okay, so what did these things do to me? What did, you know, having no father or having one I thought was my father, what did all of these things do? and trace it like back, the little things that I feel in myself, and fix those things. That's where the healing comes in.
Yeah.
And with, and I tell you this one all the time, is recognizing the fact that whoever caused you that trauma, it wasn't about you to begin with. It was about them.
Right.
It was about whatever was going on with them.
Especially, I think that that's true if it's a, like an adult and a child.
Yes.
You know, whether it's a parent and a child or another family member or something. But yeah, I think because the first part of our lives is spent, A, trying to figure this part, this life out, and then also endure what trauma or, you know, I hate to say it, but abuse that may come your way.
Yeah.
So then you spend the second half of your life realizing that a lot of what I was told about this life when figuring it out is a bunch of bullshit.
Yeah.
And the other part, the trauma, is, well, that sucks. I got to go through this, you know, and kind of heal from that.
Yeah.
But I do think that you're kind of right about that, that you are spending a lot of this half looking at that first half,
right,
and understanding yourself better.
Yeah.
I've tried that more so than so I didn't chain reaction and push this on to my child as much.
Right.
Right. I wanted I wanted her life to be different in that way. It has its own anxieties and stresses and stuff I probably don't even know about, too.
Right.
You know, but so it's not freeing her of any sort of earthly bound struggle.
Yeah.
But at least it's not adding to.
Right. I think it's important to point out that we're supposed to face these struggles. Like, that's a whole part of the simulation. And
exactly,
that's a part of why all these things happen to us in the first part of our lives. It's not, it is about healing, but it's about growing. Mm-hmm. It's about learning. It's about looking back and going, okay, what didn't I like about the way I was treated as a child or in a relationship? And then it's saying, well, are you going to put up with that in another relationship?
Yeah.
And if you don't, then that shows that you're healed. I actually did a reading for a lady today, and this is a great example. Her fiance left her. And in the reading, what came up was, he's going to try to come back, but do not take him back. And she was like, no, I never would. But we know how it is. Mm-hmm. We know when the, you know, oh, I miss you. I'm sorry. I love you, right?
Loneliness sucks.
It does.
Face it, yeah.
But this is a test from the universe for her. And what I was told was that if she passes the test, the right person will come into her life.
Yes.
It's because she's healing from that.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a very important part in moving on in your life.
Yeah.
And the right things can't be brought your way unless you've healed from other things.
Right.
Since we've moved here, I've really, really been working more on myself and about every, I always analyze what I do, but now it's gotten really bad of like, okay, if this is a simulation and I have to go through all this and heal these things, then what do I do? What is it that they want from me? And I'm trying to live according to that, according to what I think is the right thing. And really, but you have to get really honest with yourself there, really honest. And that's really hard.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that that has a lot to do with the healing. It's like noticing everything in yourself when your anxiety, like I've said to you a few times, my anxiety has been bad, right? I have to look at why is the anxiety bad? And if there's, is there something I need to work on here? Or where's it stemming from or whatever?
Yeah, I agree. I feel like sometimes for me, a lot of like my damage is more kind of, kind of abandonment sort of type issues that, so if somebody, if I feel rejected, I might want to be upset right off the bat or judge this person or something.
Right.
And I was telling you, it's like my natural reaction isn't to stop and sort of kind of hold on, freeze and retrace my steps all the way back to childhood and talk to that little boy and tell him, look, this isn't about you,
right?
But you're taking it personal.
Right.
You don't even know what this is about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this could be
totally
about jealousy, envy, anger, suspicion, whatever this person's going through. You don't know.
Right.
But you know that you've done nothing to that person.
Right.
But yet you're feeling bad.
Right.
You know?
Yes, absolutely.
So it's once you learn to do this and go right to that moment of, or that part of your soul that's little and new and the first half of the life that you're trying to figure out and confused. And then what you don't understand in that first half of your life is all the things that people do, the reasons that they do mm-hmm. them, the human condition.
Yeah.
You don't understand the effed up way human minds work
when
you're a little kid. So you don't understand that that adult just crapped on you to save their own ego and their own reputation.
Right.
Okay. This is what you don't understand, and this is the karma that's being put onto you by a previous generation.
Mm-hmm.
This is what you need to avoid doing to your own children.
Yes.
Okay. That's my suggestion.
Yeah.
So, but as you're doing this and reverting back to, is reminding that child, this person doesn't even know themselves what's wrong. So don't let it be your problem.
Yes.
That's hard to quickly get to. But with practice, it becomes easier.
Right.
What is very easy is to be negative and angry about a situation. And you leave it exactly how you started it.
Right.
But it's when you put something into it that it feels different because it's changed because you worked on it.
Absolutely.
So the struggle, it's like homework in high school.
Oh, yes, it is.
Freaking hated it. And I avoided it my whole life. Mm-hmm. And that's why I really didn't go anywhere scholastically. But that's okay. This is different. And this is like you think you can avoid it and get away with it. And the teacher's going to pass you because you even though you didn't do your homework.
Right.
Nah, it sneaks up on you. And the problem is when this kind of shit sneaks up on you, psychologically, it can break you down.
Absolutely, it can.
So best to not be in that kind of fragile position if I can avoid it by just facing what I have to face.
Absolutely.
Admitting what I have to admit, you know, and that's not easy.
It is not easy. It's very hard to be honest with yourself about things. This morning we were talking about a whole lot of things, but one of the things that came up was when I was addicted to opioids,
mm-hmm.
right? That's something that really nobody knew about me until after. It's an embarrassing thing. There's a lot of things that I've done that have been embarrassing. But this is one thing that I feel like I have to talk publicly about because it is such a huge problem in society. Mm-hmm. And so I look at it as like, okay, where am I in this and how can I maybe help people with it, right? So the addiction's passed, but I'll tell you, I've been faced with it since then.
Yeah.
I had, I've had two teeth pulled since then, and both times have been just absolutely in excruciating pain and misery, but will not take anything opioid. I had to go to the ER. We thought it was my gallbladder. It wasn't, but we thought that that's what was going on. So I went to the ER and they wanted to give me Dilaudid, which I think is also an opioid. I said, no. I said, you need to give me something that's not a narcotic. That's the universe testing you. Like I felt it with the one dentist, he gave me the prescription and it sat in my wallet. It sat there. Mm-hmm. And I went, I might need this, but I'm scared because I didn't want to get back into that again. And I ripped that up. Yeah. I ripped it up and I asked for something else that wasn't a narcotic. That is the healing in it. It's facing that. It's facing saying this is a problem and I don't want to continue to go forward with it.
Yeah.
That's when you know that you're healed from something. When you can talk about it and it doesn't upset you. It's a little embarrassing to me to talk about it, but it doesn't hurt to talk about it anymore. I don't sit there and go, oh, I wish I had those pills. Yeah. I don't. I'm so proud of myself. You know, it feels good.
Yeah, I'm proud of you for that, too. I think that's a huge accomplishment, especially where you know where you've been from.
Yeah.
Where you came from.
Yeah, my mom was also addicted.
Yeah. I didn't have that issue so much as much as I watched it take some friends' lives.
Yeah.
Literally and figuratively.
Yeah.
That, you know, the ones that didn't die from it are gone.
Yeah.
They're gone.
They're gone mentally, yeah.
And some of these people I still know today.
Yeah.
And they're just gone.
It's sad.
And it makes me so sad because, like, I think of conversations and times and moments shared with them.
Yeah.
And it's, You know, I can't expect it to have the same relevance or impact on them that it did as me. It was my experience. It was my moment to hold on to for whatever reason.
Yeah.
And I'm glad I had those moments.
Yeah.
But when I interact or see certain, some of these people now, whatever, whether it's in person or not, you get that sense that they're gone.
Absolutely.
And it bums me out, man.
Well, and then it's like, what do you do from there? Like, you have to have that willpower to stop what you're doing.
Yeah.
And most people just, they don't.
That kind of kept me from ever getting into, not that I never tried a pill or something and certain drugs, absolutely. And there's some I loved and there's some that I didn't.
Yeah.
That I, and some I stayed away from because of the fear of that I would love it.
Yeah.
And also the fear of what it's going to do to me.
Right.
I had enough family members at a young age watching them destroy their life with alcohol and drugs. That's not talking about the people as an adult that, that I know or have known, you know?
I think that's why I chose pills, because it seemed like the safer option because the doctor gives it to you. Right.
That's all wrapped up in this whole thing. Don't you see, people? It's all wrapped up in the simulation. But this thing, the simulation, we made it.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So when I get in these moments of the struggle of the healing and these things rearing up their ugly head, I got to remember it's not real.
Right.
I chose to come here.
Mm-hmm.
I asked to come here this particular time for this particular set of lessons in this particular life because I wanted to feel. I wanted to remember what it was like to feel.
That's right. That's right.
And to have these burdens and these struggles that there's something about being in the flesh that every one of us, it's like, I don't know, maybe that's the addiction on the other side.
Right.
Like, oh, man, I can't wait to get one of those buck meat suits again. You know, and there's Bobby always going, me too, man. Yeah, me too, me too. You know, it's like, well, you know. Why are we so fascinated with
it? I don't know.
Why, as spirits, are we so fascinated with this being incarnate and experiencing this? Because it is knowledge.
Yep.
It's knowledge.
Yep.
And
absolutely.
Everybody's experience is different, so you can't get the same knowledge off repeating the same experience over and over again.
No.
You have to do something different. So I've done different things.
Yeah.
And it, in regards to like what we're talking about with drugs or whatever, I might look at this and go, maybe my previous life, I did massive amounts of hard drugs.
Maybe.
Or I was like a hard drinker or something. Maybe. And I just, I had no interest in this time.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Very little.
Yeah.
That's a possibility. So I don't know, because certain things you go, why are you so scared of fire?
Right,
you
know, I know, I have no
idea.
Why
did I never decide to try heroin or crack or crystal meth?
I didn't either, yeah. For me, it was fear of death, you know? That's why I think I was attracted to the pills, because I didn't think that the pills, the doctor, I was 26 years old when the addiction started. You know, the doctor's handing me these pills. I'm like, oh, they're from a doctor. It should be fine after my mom just died from morphine overdose.
I think more for me, because I didn't have the experience. I had family members where I watched them become not them.
Totally.
Anymore.
Yep.
And so, you know, I would look at them throughout time, but still as a kid and think, man, what happened to you?
Right.
That's not you.
Totally.
You're not you anymore.
Right. I think that was one of my justifications, too, for it, was that it didn't really change me all that much as a person. It really didn't. It just, like, made me feel better. You know, it was just that high. It's just that high. It wasn't.
But that's part of what I'm talking about, like, in this simulation and the things that, that. So when I say we've made this, we have all sat there in heaven and decided to create a place that we can all go to.
Yep.
To experience certain things, to test one another, to test ourselves.
Yeah.
And within these simulations, and Earth is one of these schools, that's probably one of the more, it's sort of like an upside down school. It's beautiful, but it has a lot of weird stuff going on.
Yeah.
And so like you think, well, why would doctors want to give you drugs that just get you hooked?
Well, come on now.
It's again, It's a whole lesson.
It is a whole lesson.
Wrapped up in our own medical system,
it
right?
It is, yeah.
It's, what are you going to do? And what did all these other generations do before Linzess and Bisenterol? And, you know, what were they doing?
That's a good question.
Know? They were taking some aspirin and, you know, maybe a shot of whiskey, which isn't always the answer. But my point is, there wasn't all this opioids being shoved down your throat.
No, there weren't. And now they're like, oh, no.
There's an opioid for everything.
Right. Well, yeah, but now they're so strict about it, right? And now it's starting with gabapentin, which is, you know, that's a nerve blocker type thing, but it's meant for seizures, and they're prescribing it now like they did the Oxy and all of that, that it's just like, oh, here, have it. And it's like, do you even know what that could possibly do or what that's doing to people?
Right.
Like now we don't know. But yeah, it is a big problem, and that's something I didn't notice until the spiritual awakening too, was how much this society and you know, whatever, big pharma and all that wants to keep us hooked. That's a whole other topic for another day.
But I'm using this as an example because I think in healing, a lot of us want to go to medicine.
Absolutely,
we want to self-medicate to heal, and which I've said many times before on this show, and I'll say it again. It's, you know, I'm a huge marijuana advocate. I have been for pretty much my whole life.
Yeah.
My parents made it a big deal when I was a teenager. And so I had to do the whole, you know, like outpatient rehab type of thing and not be doing that. And was policed on it for a while. And then in my divorce, my ex-wife tried to make me the poster boy for marijuana criminalization.
That's a good way of putting it.
And let me just share something with you. Marijuana has never kept me from my emotions.
No.
Never, ever. No. I can cry while watching a stupid comedy or not comedy, drama.
Anything, yeah.
I can cry with you about talking about certain things.
Yep.
I have no problems expressing frustration over something. I have no problems being silly and happy and funny.
Yeah.
And I have no problems crying. So that to me is a bunch of hogwash.
Yeah.
But do we self-medicate? And the reasons that we try to self-medicate, is it to try to hide those things? Well, for some of us and many of us, the truth, I think that is the truth.
Yeah, sure, absolutely.
I think the reason that what you said, I'm going to go back to your statement because it is really profound, is that why do I feel like I'm spending the second half of my life healing from the first half?
Mm-hmm.
That's because I'm not running away.
No, you're so right. Absolutely.
I'm not running away.
You're so right.
There are some people that could be listening to this or choose not to listen to something like this because they don't want to go through the inconvenience and the struggle of healing.
And it is hard.
It's hard. Chelsea said something that was very straight and kind of to the point on there.
I'm sure.
On the, and it was just basically like, this isn't what you said earlier. We're not here for it to be a walk through the park.
Right.
Okay. It's hard.
Right.
That's the bottom line.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to be. Because when you go to heaven and you don't have a body that you have to feed and take care of and it doesn't fall and crumble on you, and that you're just a soul that's directly connected, plugged into the love and the support and the compassion of your creator, you don't have the worldly struggles there.
Not at all.
So believe it or not, you desire that.
Yeah, weird, right?
You desire it because, like, who wants sunshine on it every day?
Right, totally.
Of eternity.
Right.
Kind of. I hate to say that.
Yeah.
I want to experience something that's not all rainbows and happy.
Yep.
I want, because I don't learn when I'm always in a state of bliss.
That's right.
I love that, but I'm not really learning a huge amount.
Yep.
I'm just learning I love that position.
Yep.
There are much more things out there I should and could be learning that's going to require me to get in a body and come down here and be an asshole to somebody and somebody be an asshole to me.
Right.
And we'll have some tears and some laughter and we'll make up and forgive. And
right.
Well, before you know it, I've learned a lesson.
Totally.
Right?
Absolutely.
But this is part of what we've created.
It is.
And I have to go back to that. More in my life now than ever.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of have to retrace my steps and go, remember, you wanted to do this.
Yes.
And all this is just a big play.
Yep.
it's really has no significant significance in the world itself, because in 50 and 100 years, who the hell is going to remember me?
Right, exactly. Right.
You know? Like,
the Joneses,
or
what?
My family story, or yeah, whatever. Exactly. That, who cares?
Mm-hmm.
This isn't about who remembers me.
No.
It's about what I remember.
Absolutely it is.
Yep. So that's all it is.
Yep.
It's a personal simulation that we've all chose to make collective.
You are absolutely right. That kind of, a lot of times, keeps me on track, too.
I have to reel myself back in. I get a little too,
you
know, this world, and it's all too much, and then I go, but you wanted to be here.
Yeah, it's funny.
So, unless you're willing to, like, you know, put a gun in your mouth and end it all, which I know the answer to that is ridiculous.
Right.
I'm just going to be right back here.
Right,
sooner than I thought, doing it all over again, faced with the same thing I was trying to get away from.
Yep. Yeah.
Me.
Totally.
And you can't get away from you.
No, that's the one thing you can't get away from, isn't it?
So that going back to the embracing that child that's been jacked and screwed over and, you know, trusts, you know, lacks the trust, you got to talk to them.
Yeah. It's funny because the other night you were going on about something and that's what I heard was, does he not realize that this isn't real? And that's when I said it to you. I was like, you do realize this isn't real, right? Because it does. It kind of brings you back to, oh, you're right.
The pain sometimes makes it very real.
Absolutely, it does.
But,
absolutely.
Every one of us walks through to the other side when it's our turn. And probably one of the first things we do is when we get to the realization of what's actually occurred, is we kind of laugh at ourselves.
Totally.
About how serious we were thought.
I know.
Dude, I was so convinced that my name was Danny Jones.
Yeah.
And I had this bald head and this beard. And I loved music. And I loved my wife. And I loved my kid. And I loved art. And I just wanted to love everybody. And I didn't understand why people wouldn't love each other back. And why some of us can only like, we can't love. And why some of us can only love, we can't like. Like, what the frick is... And then somebody slaps me, probably my spirit guide, and was like, can we go? And then you snap out of it, and you're like, shit, that was all a show.
It was all a show. It's all for learning. And that's really what this all comes down to. The healing is a part of this journey here on Earth. It is an important part, which means that in order to heal, you have to break, right? And that sucks, but that's just how it goes.
But the breaking is more of the resistance.
Yeah.
If I just kind of went with it,
right,
I wouldn't feel like I'm being broken.
Well, I mean, the actual whatever it was.
You combine your inability to remember where you originate from with your ego.
Right.
And all the crap that's happened to you, and this is what happens.
Yep.
So I'm trying to remember all that, you know, in one thought of like, why are you protecting your ego so much? Like, what's going on?
Yeah.
You know, like, this, you wanted all this.
Right, exactly.
And you know that you've healed from so many things, or you've gone through so many things. And we go back to that healing, and what is healing? Does it mean it's actually vanished? No.
Right.
No, because that's a memory.
Yeah, exactly.
And unless I have Alzheimer's, that's going to be in my mind somewhere.
Right.
What is it that brings it up and the triggers and all that? Well, that's something different, but it's there and it will always be there.
Yes.
But I can get better. And I think the healing process is never, I don't try to look at it like I'm going into the doctor's office with a cancer diagnosis and being told I'm cancer free and in remission. I don't, I
no,
can't look
it's way
at
different
it like that.
Than that. Yeah.
No, I can't. I have to look at it like, it's there.
Yeah.
And the level of prominence of it within me is all up to me.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's hard to know in this where or how to get started, right? Where do you start? About, I don't know, 2 years into the spiritual awakening, I all of a sudden had this feeling of, I need a therapist, a spiritual counselor, somebody that can help me with things along the path, right? I didn't know what to expect. I just felt that. Well, this therapist is the one that introduced me to inner child work. I had no idea what she was talking about at the time. I thought it was the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard when she was talking about it. But doing that inner child work makes healing in so many areas better.
Right.
Healing your inner child is about telling that little child in you that it's okay what happened to you. That's just one part.
Right.
But that's the way that she described it to me. What she told me to do was take a picture of myself at the age that I feel like was the most impactful to me, which was about 10-ish. Mm. So I looked at a picture of myself at that age, and I thought of all the things that it's going on with this child and how she didn't deserve these things, right? And then I had to really give her an emotional hug. Mm. I had to comfort that inner child and tell her, you are not your parents' mistakes, and right. go on and on and on about all of that
right.
and deal with it that way. Because after I did that, I felt more, well, I don't know what's the word I'm looking for. Like I was supposed to do this work like it was meant for me, you mm-hmm. know, like, okay, I can heal now. I can go past this part of things. Right. I can move past it and start dealing with the individual things. And I never wanted to look at my mom as the problem for a lot of things,
yeah.
but that's where it started, that I was able to look at her and go, wow, I had the pill problem because right. of her. I have yeah. money issues because of her. All of these things stem back to my childhood.
Right.
And in order to really move forward with it, I had to believe that I was worthy of that inner child yeah. healing. Because I think you said that to me the other night about that inner child, like that child didn't deserve it or something along those lines.
No, I yeah. feel like I kind of, I had my own issues as a kid, but I think I was more so living, trying to get out from underneath the shadow of my own family's unhealthiness.
Right.
And in turn, I was acting out. But there's this idea in this world that children are naive.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to say stupid, but children are naive. They yeah. lack knowledge
right.
and understanding. And I have a problem with that
yeah,
for a couple sure. reasons. We have a lack of understanding money and value. Okay, children have a lack of understanding money and value and the way that sick adult minds work.
Yes.
There's a lot that they don't understand.
Right.
That's worldly.
Mm-hmm.
But what they come into the world fully understanding, which all the adults are missing, is the true essence of where we came from.
Right.
And that is love, compassion,
yep.
understanding, peace, and non-judgment. So when I see those gifts and those pictures of the black kid and the white kid,
yeah.
the toddlers holding hands,
yep.
that this doesn't matter.
No.
That is the true essence mm-hmm. of where we come from.
Yep.
Okay? It's not until we start adding into balancing your checkbook and
right.
being to work on time and, you know, deflecting this guy's bad attitude
right.
and this situation. Like, you take on those worldly things that, yes, children don't know anything about.
Right.
However, the adults don't know anything about the pure essence of where we came from.
Right. Exactly.
We're forgetting it all.
We forget
right?
it, yeah.
We get into this simulation and all this, and we're forgetting
yeah.
that the struggle is real.
Yeah.
Okay? It appears real, but it's not.
Right.
So there's an oxymoron
yeah.
kind of at hand here. It's like, the struggle is real, man. Healing sucks.
Right.
And then you go, but none of this is real.
Right. Totally. Exactly.
It's a pretzel-bending, mind-effing thing. Right. You know, you're like, what? Wait a minute.
Right.
Then what am I doing? And that's where you go, why am I here?
Right.
That's where you have to go backwards, like yeah. you were talking about and sharing with me the other night. Was like, you got to go back to that little kid.
Yeah.
Because that little kid is the essence of your being.
Yes.
He came into this world ready to love and yep. be open. And he got tarnished
mm-hmm.
and jaded and hurt yep. and abused and angry and frustrated.
Yep.
And maybe gave up on things. I have to go back to that because mm-hmm. that is the real me. The rest of this is just your suit that's evolved, and some of it's kind of in a chameleon-ish kind of way.
Yeah.
You know? Like, how can I be and blend? And
right.
But if I go back to the kid, I can tap back into that feeling of I just want to, I don't want to fight with people.
Right.
Right? I just want to love people.
Yes.
And I want to accept them. and letting other people's damage be their damage.
That is huge. Absolutely. Yep.
So I see sometimes in situations via, like we were watching, we shared this before about Gypsy Rose Blanchard mm-hmm. and her situation yeah. and how she was paying dearly
oh, yeah.
for her mother's illness
mm-hmm.
and felt even today like she's done something wrong.
Yes.
Well, you have done something wrong.
Yeah.
You had your mom killed. Okay.
yeah.
But everybody, each and every one of us, for the most part, that has watched the story and heard the story, does not hold her
no.
to blame or accountable
no.
for the path that things went.
Yeah, she didn't know what else to do.
She didn't know.
No, there was no other option. Right? It was her or mom.
There was no yeah. other way.
Yeah.
But so, again, the best thing I think that she can do for herself is let that be Dee Dee Blanchard's
right.
problem.
She has to learn how to do that.
That takes time.
It's going to take a lot of time.
And it's tough when you've been told your whole life by this particular person, which I relate to,
mm-hmm.
you're the problem.
Right, totally.
Everything's wrong with you.
Right, it's not me.
You.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
But the minute you suggest help for them,
mm-hmm.
a little counseling,
right.
nope, I don't need that.
I'm not the problem.
I'm not the problem.
You're the problem, yeah.
And now these types of things can, you know, come and go in families' dynamics.
Yeah.
Like, not talking about Gypsy Blanchard, but like, say something happens between two people, seems like it's worked out, it's you know,
yeah.
it's being worked out, and then it occurs kind of again.
Right.
So I've experienced some of that.
Yeah.
And feeling like, what did I do this time?
Right.
Because see, I was told when I was real little that it was all about the mistakes I was making.
Right.
I was also being fed a line of bull so somebody else didn't have to face their own
absolutely.
Issue.
Absolutely. That's, yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Yep. That's the truth.
Yep.
So I can accept my part.
Yeah.
But then I have to turn around and do that as a parent as well.
Yeah.
And say, what was it that my child may have been hurt by?
Right.
Right.
Totally.
Well, I know I didn't do certain things that were done to me.
Yeah.
Because I made those promises.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean I'm perfect.
Right.
But it might mean I have to address that
mm-hmm.
for the sake of her inner child.
Right.
And health and well-being is to say, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't mean that or that's
totally.
Not.
Totally. Taking accountability.
But I'm very sorry
yeah.
for doing that
mm-hmm.
or saying that. And you hope that in turn you're teaching them the same thing.
Right.
When it's their turn.
Yeah.
Is face it. I didn't learn this from my parents, I don't think.
No.
I learned that from going to therapy in my own life.
Mm-hmm.
Was like, I got to be accountable.
Yep. Yes.
And I have to admit where I've been wrong.
Right.
If I want any successful relationship anywhere in my life,
right.
whether it's a marriage or a brother or sister or a parental thing, I have to be willing to admit
yes.
my own faults.
Yes. That I was just writing that down because it is so true. I'm wrong. Those are two really, really powerful words. Or I was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. A part of my issue with my stepfather was the divorce between him and my mother. And because I was on my mother's side, all I heard was her side. And I didn't want to hear about the negatives of what she was doing. So one of the things that I had to do to heal that relationship was really look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Look at what did my mom do and what did he do? Now, they both did things wrong,
yeah.
okay? But I wanted to blame him entirely for it, where now I can go, I was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
She was just as much to blame, if not more, than you were. That helps to heal that, and it helps to forgive
yes.
a little bit and
there's
move past it.
There's a huge amount of healing in admitting fault.
Right.
Like being accountable.
Absolutely.
You know, no matter how small that is. Whatever your role is.
Yep.
I know for me that with you, if I hurt your feelings or I upset you, I can't go outside and leave or go to sleep
mm-hmm.
like that.
Right. No.
I have to say, I'm sorry.
You're right.
I just have to. I
right.
can't. I don't. That's just. It's such a yucky feeling.
It's horrible.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
But I can't tolerate that. So.
Yeah.
And a relationship has. This one in particular has really taught me that, how to be more accountable.
Yeah.
I don't think my first marriage was at all like that.
No, mine
wasn't
either.
At least not two-way street. So there's freedom in that and saying, God, man, I'm human. I have a right to make mistakes.
Yep.
And but it's not justified. It doesn't give you a license to be mean, but you'll feel a lot better and so will the other person.
You brought up something that I had written down earlier that I wanted to talk about, and that is that unhealed side of you taking it into other relationships. Now, a lot of times we don't realize that we're doing this. Yeah. There's definitely things that I've done in our relationship that were damage that was caused by my first husband and by the guy I dated after him. Yeah. Okay. This was not damage that you did. However, the damage was bad enough that I had to come back to those things and really work through it and really tell myself, he is not either one of those guys. That is not what's going on here. You need to look at things differently. And after I was able to, it makes everything better. Mm-hmm. It makes me able to look at the situations different, at the relationship different. But if you're continuously taking that damage from a previous relationship into the new one, and I see it all the time in my line of work, it's not going to help the relationship at all.
No, it's not. And I can speak right from the heart from that I did the same exact thing, thinking, you know, 18 years with somebody that my next relationship and marriage was just the same.
Yeah, right.
And it wasn't.
No.
It was completely different. Mm-hmm. And I recently had a friend that I saw on Facebook going through some issues and said something to them privately in Messenger, specifically about this person that they had seen them involved with. But they weren't saying much about this person, but I kept telling you, I'm feeling like the universe is telling me to message this guy.
Totally.
I'm like, I don't want to get in somebody else's thing, you know?
Yeah, totally.
And so I did anyways. Right. I reached out to them and talked to them a little bit.
Right.
And it was exactly what I was feeling.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, he's treating this person like they're somebody else, an old relationship, and that's not working for this person.
Right.
So as I was kind of talking to him and sharing, I did the same thing.
Right.
And he was sort of kind of down on it. Like, I think I pushed him away too far and now they're close.
Right.
And I just kept kind of talking to him and saying, look, I think all this can be corrected, but it's going to take work on your part.
Yeah.
And it was literally like the next day I was seeing pictures of like photo albums they were sharing of him and this person, you know?
Yeah, totally.
And I felt good.
Yeah.
Like I, you know, and especially for him to like say, I love you at the end of it. It was like, cool. Man, that feels so good when someone tells you that.
Yep.
I hate to say it. Even when it's a guy, it feels even better.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know why. Because you know there's nothing romantic. It's just like, it's true, pure, just like, I'm just telling you that I love you and I appreciate you.
Yeah.
And all I was doing was like, and I probably went on for a couple of days where I told you I was looking at this person's stuff, seeing their posts, and I was feeling really sad.
Yes, totally. Them.
And I was like, I got to say something, but I don't want to say something, but I've done this and I can kind of share with him, you know, what I've gone through. And it went very cool. It was great, you know. But yes, it's just, you got to face up. You got to realize what you're doing wrong and not take ownership for what somebody else is doing.
Right.
There's a big difference and you don't want to carry a bunch of luggage, you know, to the airport that you don't really need.
No, not at all. And, you know, one of the big struggles for me was with a father relationship. And I think that a lot of people that if they would have found out about their father at 45 years old or however old I was, that they had a father that existed. If I wouldn't have done that work, my point, if I wouldn't have done the inner work, I would not be dealing with this the way that I am at all. Because he is not my type of person at all. Like I, and that's the, you know, that's what made me think about this was that yesterday I reached out to him because I was feeling my half brother, Dan, that passed away telling me to reach out to him. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I did. And it ended up, I saw it on Facebook before that it was the 2-year anniversary of the day that we met each other, you know? Mm-hmm. And, so I sent him a screenshot of that and I said, you know, I've been thinking about you. I hope you're okay. And happy anniversary, basically. And the response that I got was bizarre. A whole list of things that was wrong with him.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. Well, a lot of people might have taken that and gotten really pissed about it.
Yeah.
And let it bother them all day and make them angry. I've done so much work on myself that I realize that has nothing to do with me.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to get to know me because he's selfish.
Yep.
It has nothing to do with me.
Absolutely.
And once you're able to do that, you can just let go when people do dumb shit like that. You can just let it go because it's not about you.
I don't know if it's a generational thing too. Might be. Like
the, I don't know.
We talked a little bit about the boomerish kind of way sometimes. Yeah. And I relate because I had shared something with a close family member recently via like email about Marina's achievement. She made Dean's List in her first semester at college, which were like, and I'm proud dad. Like I want to get on the rooftop. I had to ask her, can I share this on Facebook? I want to like shout it from the rooftop.
Yeah. You know?
So I shared this with very close family members and it was like, but I had in this message, not only her achievement, some other things that were going on in our lives. And that was the only thing that was addressed was her.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, that's great. At least they're addressing it. But I realized that it's time for me to move on.
Right. Yes.
And not preoccupy myself with making sure I am updating certain people.
Right.
I guess. I don't know how to put that, but.
No, I understand.
So, it was something I had to face. It kind of bummed me out.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, okay, cool. But that is what it is.
Right.
And it's not me.
No.
It's not me.
No.
Because I've had, you know, this person say you're like 75% different.
Right, yeah.
Than you used to be.
Yeah.
So I know I've changed.
Yes.
I know I've grown and I've worked really hard to do that.
But they haven't.
Well, they haven't. And I can see this thing kind of reoccurring and feeling treated like I used to be treated when I was young.
Right.
And I can't go there. Yeah. I can't allow that anymore. I've worked too hard at facing it. So that's where I say, it's time for me to move on.
Right. And that's a part of your test is how are you going to handle this?
Yeah.
You know, and it sucks, but that's the damage that was done. And we're the ones that have to heal it.
Yeah.
You know, for sure.
Oh, I'm not going to lie. I'm sure I have family that think that I'm totally insane for wanting to get on a microphone and talk about my past and talk about my present. And unfortunately, they may be a little paranoid. I'm going to talk about them.
Oh, yeah. I have that problem.
And so I don't want to smear anybody at all. But make no mistake, I will talk my truth.
Right.
In the most respectful way I possibly can in order for me to heal.
Absolutely, as you should.
So
that's a part of what we're doing here because if we didn't have these things and we were just sitting here talking about healing and we hadn't done any or didn't have any to do, what's the point?
Right.
You know, it's like you have to be relatable. You have to, those things come with this kind of stuff. And if you haven't been through it, how do you help other people with it?
Yeah.
You know? But it is very much about you, about your relationship with yourself and making sure that that relationship is healthy. Because when that relationship is healthy, then you can have healthy relationships with other people. But if you look at yourself as the problem and you're always, you know, reflecting on what other people have said to you, that's actually their own problems, then you don't feel like you're a good enough person.
Right.
And then you don't treat other people the way they should be treated. It's just the way it goes.
Yeah.
It's a cycle.
Yeah.
So you have to break it.
Yeah, you know. You don't want people coming back and talking about you, don't be a jerk.
Right, exactly. You know?
That's just the be nice as much as you can.
Exactly. That's right.
But
yeah.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
Good one.
There we go. You know, I had 3 pages of notes and I didn't even use them.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that there's a lot
You're
to talk about
incredible.
In this topic. Yeah.
Well, is there anything important that you missed?
No, I don't think so. No. I don't think so. I think we talked about it all. But I did want to mention that I thought we had done an episode on healing your inner child, but that might have been my radio show because I can't find it. So check out my radio show, Beyond the Bridge. There's an episode about healing your inner child. And then number 83 of this show was shadow work. But I'm almost like don't want to say listen to it because that was so long ago and we've done so much shadow work and grown so much that, you know,
well, but listen to it anyways
because you'll notice the change in us. You guys will. And
well, if we haven't done an episode on inner child here,
we will. Yeah,
then maybe we should.
I think so too. I'm gonna go back and look through it more. I just did a search on my Google Drive and I didn't see anything inner child, but yeah, if we don't, I definitely think we should.
Cool.
So, yeah,
very good.
Yay.
Awesome. Well, that was a good episode.
Yeah, I thought so.
But before we say goodbye, would you share your information one more time?
Yes. You can find me at SamanthaJonesPsychicMedium.com. Everything is there. My TV show that airs on Mondays. I also have an Etsy page where I do specialty readings. That link is there as well.
Cool.
And then you.
Very good. Yes. My art, one more time, djonesartcollection.com for the web, at djonesartcollection for Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. And don't forget what Samantha suggested, and we will adopt that right now. If you could tap into your super-duper unagi inside and take a crack at what the subject matter is of my painting, then you will get, let's say I'll give you up to like 11 by 14. Ooh.
That's a nice size, yeah.
You know, roughly. So it's not tiny.
Yeah.
You can get up to that size if you want a smaller one. That's fine, too.
Cool.
So but send that into the art email.
SpiritualJoneses@gmail.com. Yeah.
There you go. Mm-hmm. So that'll be for the art. but again, I don't know, maybe a week or a little bit over left, but pretty soon.
Yeah.
So you got that amount of time to think about it.
Yeah.
And then for my photographs, one more time, my Etsy store is djonesphotography71. And then Instagram is at djones71photography. And that's all I got.
Yay.
Well, we hope you guys got something out of this today.
That we do.
And we hope that you can help heal yourself.
Yes.
Your inner child. Mm-hmm. And maybe heal some of the things that are happening in your life. You
Absolutely.
Know, other relationships that might need that attention. So,
agree.
And we hope you guys have a great week.
That we do.
Until next week.
Peace and love.